Well, that's having church, isn't it?
Amen.
Therefore, with joy, drink waters from the wells of salvation. Praise God. It's good to know that God's well doesn't ever run dry. There's always plenty of water there when you want to drink. Never, ever runs dry. Glory to God. Praise God. He is worthy of glory and honor and our praises. Amen. Just turn around here. Now, I don't know what this is all about, but these are some of the Gardner boys. This is Steve and Dennis and Patrick and David. And while they were receiving the offering this morning and waiting upon you as you were giving your offering, I looked out over the congregation and watched them working, receiving your offering. And I just felt the love of God flowing out from me towards them, and especially to a couple of them. And I know what that means. I know God wants to do something for them. I don't know what He wants to do, but I know He wants to minister to them in some special way today. And so that's why I've asked them to come and just to stand here before you. I want you fellas just to close your eyes. We're going to let God do what He wants to do. And those of you that are in the congregation, I want you to believe God with me to do what He wants to do in these young men's lives this morning. Father, we lift these men up to You today. David, Patrick, Dennis, and Stephen. Our Father, we thank You that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of them. We thank You, Father, that they are born again of Your Spirit, that they are indwelt of Your Spirit, that they are empowered of Your Spirit. And we just reach out to them today, our Father, and we want to bless them. We reach out, Father, and lay hands upon them, Father, the hands of blessing, Lord. And we invite Your blessing to come now and to abide, our Father, to rest upon them, Lord, and to abide within them, Father. A special blessing this morning, Lord, to do that, Father, which is needful in them this day, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Now just wait upon the Lord for a moment. Ay, confanda pai. Shiro kira tomaya. O kariche mohokia. Yendo bokirin shofera kahi de bota. Ay, shimano kri kenda bodangri shi futabaya. Hamro kri shevro kohida parangrite. Evorun shebato e karati.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You shall look upon one, and you shall see a Gideon. You shall look upon another, and you shall see a Joshua. You shall look upon another, and you shall see an Aaron. Yea, you shall look upon one, and you shall see the very countenance of Moses in his face. For I say that I am the Lord thy God, and even as I call thee the Bible before thee this day, I say to thee, lift thy hand to me, lift thy face to me, look upon me, and you shall see my glory, for I move through thee.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bind thy arms together, bind thy girdle together, walk forth together from this day forth in my glory and my power, nor thy work with thee. Yea, I work with thee from this day.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, I think that's it. You may be seated. Ooh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I believe there's a lesson for us right there. And it goes something like this. So many in the body of Christ they're crying out to God for something to do, something big, you know, to do for God.
And they're waiting for him to lead them into doing it. And in the meantime, nothing's coming out of that life. There's no issue from that life. There's a verse over in Ecclesiastes that says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And you know, here, that wasn't prearranged, was it, guys? Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what was going through my mind up here when I was sitting here and watching them. And I thought, the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, you call the four of them down. And I said, Lord, David doesn't have his coat on. You didn't know all that was going on up here, did you? Well, you know, it's not that important he have his coat on, but you can see they're all dressed alike this morning, and the three of them all look just exactly alike, and David didn't have his coat on. And as I was sitting here watching, he walked back to his chair and put his coat on. Didn't you? And you see, what were these young men doing? They were doing whatsoever their hand findeth to do. They're doing it with all their might. They're receiving the offering. They're serving the body of Christ. And while that's going on, God is speaking to me and saying, call them up here. I want to bless them. I want to do something for them, you see. While they're busy doing what their hand finds to do and not waiting for something to do for God. But what their hand finds to do, do it. And then God pours that up. Woo! I'd give anything to know what he just did here. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 But if you were standing where I was standing, you know something was going on here. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is extra, extra precious for me this morning. Praise God. Okay, choir. You have something good there for us this morning? With me, please, to the book of Numbers, to the 33rd chapter. Numbers chapter 33. I ministered on this subject some time ago. We haven't touched on it in quite a while, and in the last couple of weeks, I've been reminded of this truth. And we have, let me ask you, how many of you have just been born again within the last 12 to 18 months? Let me see your hands. Praise God. Keep your hands up now. Now, the rest of you, I want you to look around. See, tell me God's not doing a work. Amen. All right, you may lower your hands. This message this morning will help particularly those of you that are young in the faith, and it'll be a good reminder to those of you that have been walking with the Lord Jesus for a longer period of time. If you'll listen carefully, you'll get some answers for some questions that you've been asking ever since you've been saved. God's going to give specific answers to you today if you'll listen carefully. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, will take this word and will minister it to you personally so that you can't miss the truth that God's trying to show you today. Now, I'm going to share with you a spiritual principle that I had never heard before God showed it to me out of His Word, but has meant so much to me in my own personal life and also in the counseling ministry that God uses me in. This has come up within the last couple of weeks several times, and I was reminded that it's something that we needed to go over again. In Numbers, the 33rd chapter, Moses is giving instruction under the anointing of God's Spirit for the children of Israel after they go into the promised land. At this point, they are still in the wilderness. They are anticipating going into Canaan land, the land of promise. And Moses is giving instruction for what they should do when they get there. Beginning to read in the 50th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. And moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now, as I've shared with you before, in order for these Old Testament stories to be as meaningful as they should be to us, we must understand that the characters and the people in the Old Testament are types and shadows of New Testament characters and experiences. The children of Israel in the Old Testament, the people of God, the chosen of God, the select of God, relate to the church today, the body of Christ. You and I, born again of the Spirit of God, we are the people of God, the chosen of God, the ones that God has called Mount Zion. And so when we read about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, that is a shadow or a type or a preview of you and me today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the born again, the renewed, the regenerated. The land of Canaan, in the Old Testament, the promised land was a land that God had promised for the people, that having delivered them out of the land of bondage, after having set them free out of the slavery of Egypt, after bringing them out with miracle workings by the power of His hand, And he was going to take them through the wilderness that they were traveling in, and he was going to deliver them into a land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. He said that when you get there, there will be things there that you didn't plant. There'll be vineyards there and fields there, and you're going to take the spoil of someone else who went before you. And it belongs to you because I give it to you. It's the land of promise in which all of your needs will be met. I will fight your battles for you. I will provide for you. I will protect you. And I will give you that abundant life. The land of Canaan in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of the victorious, overcoming Christian life that we have today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a type of heaven because heaven doesn't have any enemies there. There are no giants in heaven. There are no enemies there. Canaan land is a type of the life that you and I are to enjoy right now here on this earth. And the inhabitants of the land, all of the Ites, the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Amalekites and the Perizzites and all the rest of those Ites, they are types and shadows of Satan and his demon powers. And so you have the children of Israel, the people of God, delivered by the power of God out of the land of slavery, Egypt, carried on his wings into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, which was a land flowing with milk and honey, their every need met. But when they got there, there were enemies in the land, inhabitants there, who fought against them and who had established prior to their coming all sorts of other false gods. And that's what Moses is talking about here under the anointing of the Spirit of God. When you get there, he said, you destroy their pictures, you destroy their statues, and you destroy everything they have. You pull down all their high places because that's where they worshiped these false gods. You get rid of all of those things and you drive those inhabitants out. He said, if you don't do it, if you won't drive the inhabitants out, they will be like pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they will vex you all the while you're in the promised land. All the while you are there, even though I've given you promise after promise, even though it's a land flowing with milk and honey, even though you're under my power, even though all of that blessing has been promised you, you will have vexing and trouble all of your life right in the middle of the promised land. Now we're comparing here types. And God is saying to us that you were in slavery. You were in bondage to sin. You were a child of Satan. You had no hope and you had no God. You were dead in sin and trespasses, but he said, with my miracle power, I birthed you anew out of that slavery. And I have carried you upon eagle's wings across the wilderness and delivered you into a wonderful, victorious, overcoming life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have provided for you peace. I have provided for you, they were singing earlier, peace like a river. I've provided joy like a river. I've provided love like a river. I've given a well of salvation that's got water in it that won't ever run dry. Drink with it, drink from it with joy. Drink deeply from that well. But he said there are enemies. There are those things in the Christian life that would vex you if they can. The devil is alive. I'm not going to say he's doing well. There are some that say he's doing well. He's alive and well on the planet Earth. I don't think he's alive and well. I believe he's alive and on his way out. But he is alive. And he does have principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in the heavenly realms, that is in the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. And while we're living right now in the land of promise, do you know that when you're born again, God gives you power to live that victorious Christian life right then and now? Do you know that healing belongs to us now in this life? Not when we get to heaven, because no sickness over there. You know it belongs here. Prosperity belongs to us here. You don't need it over there, for goodness sakes. You take a knife and chip up a little gold off the street. You don't need it up there. You need it down here. Up there, he set a table for us. He set a table there for us with everything on it we want. Down here is when we need a few greenbacks to set our table. Is that right? We need those things here. But Paul says that Satan is the god of this world. We're living in a world that is ruled by an alien power. We have entered the land of promise, but there are giants in the land. There are enemies in the land, and they would vex us, and they would hinder us, and they would hurt us if they could. Now, some of you have been unable to get victory in certain areas of your life. Some of you have been unable to get your prayers answered. Some of you have been unable to believe God's word. You see other Christians and they take the word and it says, God says it. By his stripes we were healed. And they get healed. You say, how can they believe like that? I wish I could believe like that. Well, you can. You can. You can. But you must do what God instructed the children of Israel to do. And if you don't, you'll be vexed all your Christian life. Now let's go over to Joshua, the 23rd chapter. You'll remember that Joshua was the successor to Moses. Joshua was the one that actually led the children of Israel into the land of promise. Moses had given instruction concerning these enemies, these inhabitants of the land. And Joshua confirmed that. In Joshua chapter 23, verse number 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. Ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised unto you. And be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left. And that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Joshua warned the children of Israel also not in any way to go back but to cleave only unto the Lord. Now you would think that with Moses and with Joshua being that explicit, that the children of Israel would do exactly as they were instructed. Unfortunately, they were a stiff-necked people. And in the book of Judges, which is just a few pages up in your Bible, in the very first chapter, let's see what they did. They were instructed very carefully, but they didn't pay attention. When they came into the land, let's look, we'll read selected verses here out of chapter 20, out of chapter 1, and then some verses out of chapter 2 in the book of Judges. Well, let's look at verse 19 first. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Now, if you look back in Joshua, we'll not look at it here today, but you may have a notation in your Bible with a passage from Joshua 17, 16. And you'll see that Joshua had instructed them that even if they encountered chariots of iron, it didn't make any difference, that they had the power because God was with them and to go on and drive them out. But Judah wouldn't do it. The tribe of Judah drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but the ones that were in the valley, they left them stay. Now look at verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Look at verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants. 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants, and so on. Time after time after time after time, when God had spoken, look, when you come into the land of promise that I have given you, you drive out utterly every enemy that's there. You run them out on a rail. You tar and feather them if you have to. You strip them bare and you throw them out. Utterly drive them out, he said. In verse 28, it says that when they were strong, when they had the ability, just when God had brought them into the land of promise, when they were at their strongest, right then the power of God was flowing in them and flowing through them. They had received the promise of God of the land. And right then at that time when they were strong and could have overcome every obstacle and every enemy and could have driven out every inhabitant of the land, they did not do it. And so what happened? Over in the second chapter, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Now look over in verse 14. Judges, the second chapter, the 14th verse. Listen to this carefully. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now, what does this have to do with us? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with us. And I'm going to speak, as is my custom generally, in straight language. When you were born again, beloved, God reached down in His compassionate mercy and He took you out of the slime pits of Egypt and out of the slavery and the bondage to Satan. He carried you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ into the land of promise. He gave you, at the time you were born again, all the power that you needed to get your act cleaned up, to get every enemy driven out of your life right then. And this is what the desire of God was at that moment. Now I'm going to talk to you about some things that I better clarify some things first of all. If you smoke cigarettes, you're not going to hell because you smoke cigarettes. If you drink wine, beer, liquor, hard cider, you're not going to hell because you do. If you smoke marijuana, You probably go to jail for that. But you won't go to hell because it's illegal. It's illegal. I don't care whether it's wrong or not. It's illegal. That makes it wrong. If you are selfish, bitter, fearful, unbelieving, irritable, touchy, and all of those things, you'll not go to hell because of that. There's only one reason, beloved, that any person will ever go to hell, and I keep saying it because I don't want you to miss it. And that's if you reject Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so I'm not saying that abstaining from, I know a lot of people that don't smoke that are going to hell. I know a lot of people that don't drink, they're going to hell. I know a lot of people that live very good moral lives, but they're going to hell. Do you know why? Because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well then, Pastor, what point are you making? This is it, and don't you miss it. All of those things that I mentioned are thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes, and they will vex you all of your Christian life. They'll separate you from God. They will separate you from the promises of God. They will hinder your being able to believe God, and they will weaken you in the presence of your enemies. Now you can smoke if you want to, but you'll be a weak Christian. You can drink if you want to, but you will never achieve the strength in God that He intended for you to have. And some of you are having trouble, I wouldn't be preaching this message. Some of you are having difficulty today because your sociable glass of wine. God said, if you will not drive these enemies out of your life, they will vex you and hinder you and trouble you all of your Christian life. Now the Word of God says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. As obedient sons. Scripture says, without holiness, we cannot see God. Now, I know Christians who smoke, and they're Christians. I didn't smoke very long after I became a Christian. I smoked like a chimney prior to it, but I was a churchman. When I was, churchgoer. I did smoke. I was a smokestack. When I became a Christian, boy, I tell you, that was the first, one of the first things he took away from me, just boom, just went just like that. Do you see what happened to these children of Israel? When they pussyfooted around with these things from the old life, and when they said, oh, it won't hurt, they said, oh, it won't bother me, we're strong, we're tough. We're going to leave them right here in the land, and we'll exact tribute from them. Oh, I can do that. It's not going to bother me. But it finally cost them their land. It finally cost them the land. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. If you smoke cigarettes or cigars or pipes or chew, I don't smoke. Well, what kind do you chew? Same thing. See, don't play games with God. You can't play games with the Lord God. He's no fool. If you smoke, beloved, it won't consign you to hell, but it will give you trouble. All the days of your life, it will. It'll make it more difficult for you to believe God. It'll make it more difficult for you to stand against your enemies. Do you see what the poor children of Israel said? What they couldn't do, as the scripture says, they could no longer longer stand before their enemies. When they were born again, they were filled with the power of God. They could do anything. They were ready to go out and raise the dead. They had that kind of power. But they didn't run the enemies out of their lives. That's the same thing that happens with Christians today. They get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and hallelujah, they're having one more good time. And they could rake and raise the dead, do everything else, but they don't run the demons out of their life. I'm telling you, you can have your glass of wine from time to time if you want that. And please don't misunderstand me. Don't ever offer me any because I can't drink it. I just can't. The Lord's dealt with me about it, and I can't drink it. You can have it if you want. And it won't consign you to hell. You can still make heaven. You can drink a glass of wine and still make heaven. But as a child of God, would it be proper for us to ask God, what can I get away with and still make heaven? Should that be our attitude? Should we be looking for how much we can do and still not lose our eternal life? Or should we be striving to enter into the fullness of what God has provided for us? The fullness of the power, the fullness of the peace, the fullness of the joy, the fullness of that victorious overcoming life. I tell you, that's what I want, and I'm not letting anything in my life that hinders me. Nothing. I don't care how good it tastes or how good it feels. You can be selfish if you want to. If you want to. But it will hinder you, beloved. It will hinder your spiritual experience. It will be, as long as you live in this world, a prick in your eye and a thorn in your side. You young people, and not all young people, some of you young oldsters, you come into the kingdom of God, but you can't give up your Z93. Take my cigarettes, Jesus, and take my wine, and take all it, but don't take my rock music. I tell you, if you want the power in your life, if you want the power in your life, I'm not preaching against rock music. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to show you where the power of God is to live the victorious, overcoming life. Now, my responsibility is to preach you the Word. Once I've preached the Word, it's between you and God. See, I'm off the hook. That's what I'm doing today, is getting off the hook. Actually, it's a little more than that. But see, you can fill your life with all that garbage if that's what you want. You can still read your Playboy magazines if that's what you want. Gee, I hope we don't have anybody here that does that. But it would hinder you. And I think this is what God would have you to ask yourself today. I believe He's already spoken to some of you here. Many of you have been troubled by things that I haven't even mentioned. But I think the Lord would have you to examine yourself today and say, how is my spiritual life? How is my spiritual temperature? Am I enjoying the victory that Jesus has purchased for me? Am I walking in the fullness of what God bought for me with the shed blood of Christ Jesus? Have I taken all the pictures and the molten images and all of that stuff from the old life and burned them? You know, there's a church in the New Testament, a church at Ephesus. And they were really fools for Christ. One night they had a bonfire. And they brought all their old cultish books, all the things they had of curious arts. They brought all their statues and all that stuff, and they had a fire in the city of Ephesus. That's why Paul had so much trouble there, because the silversmiths didn't like him. He was bad for business. 50,000 pieces of silver was the worth of what they burned that night. They were fanatics for Christ Jesus. But they also had the power operating in their life to live in victory. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Now you may think you can, but you can't. And I hesitate to say this, but I'll say it to make a point. If a person really wants to play the devil's game, he's not going to enjoy what he's playing as long as he's trying to play both ends against the middle. He might as well go and take everything the devil's got. Give up God and just go on back to the old life. I like the way Elijah said it. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve Him. And if Baal be God, serve him." I tell you, if you want to smoke your cigarettes, just go on and smoke a carton a day. Just go on and just get all of them you can. But if you've heard this message, there would be no reason to ever again ask, why, oh God, don't I seem to have the joy that some of these other people have? Why, oh God, are things always going wrong in my life? Why, God, can't I get my healing? Why, God, are my kids disobedient? Why, oh God, can't I make good grades in school? When you can't hear yourself think for the rock station that's on your car radio. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you hear the Word of God? Now, you have the power, you see, when you're saved. God gives you the power to get your life clean. Philippians, the second chapter, Paul said, "Now work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you to will and do of His own good pleasure." And so when you got born again, the Spirit of God came on the inside of you and said, "Okay, the power is in there now. If you really want to live separated to God, if you really want to live holy to God, the power's there. But you make the choice." Now I want you to close your eyes, please. I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to pray with me. I want you to just assume an attitude of prayer. Father, we want to thank You for delivering us out of the land of bondage, out of the slavery to sin. We thank You, Father, that You have delivered us into the kingdom of Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a kingdom of righteousness and of joy and of peace and of power. And You said that where Your Spirit was, where the Spirit of God was, that there was liberty, there was freedom. Freedom from all of the snares of the past. And freedom to become all that You intended for us to be. For us to walk in the fullness of our redemption which You provided in Christ Jesus our Lord. That we should be holy in all of our ways. That we should be powerhouses in all of our doing. We thank You this day, Father, that when You delivered us out of the land of bondage and translated us into the land of promise, that You equipped us with wonder-working power to do all that which our heart desired.
We ask you, Father, to forgive us for any area of our lives that we've neglected to clean up, any area of our life that we've permitted the devil to have a hold, where we've permitted Satan to have residence in our life when we had declared that we were serving you. We ask you to forgive us, Father. Some of us, Father, through ignorance, have not realized until today some areas in our lives that have weakened us and given the devil place. When you said in your word, give him no place. We thank you, Father, that inasmuch as we have done it in ignorance, that we obtain mercy from you and forgiveness. And we thank you today for revelation that we know where those areas are now, and we can get them cleaned out, that we can get every nook and cranny in our life clean, exposed to the light of God's Word, and that there's no area of our life, Father, where any inhabitant from the old life still remains. Even the secret places we open up to you. Father, for those of us who you have dealt with previously on this subject, and we knew that we were resisting you, deep down we knew we had good excuses and we had good reasons. They even sounded good to us. Nobody pressed us too hard. But deep down inside we knew that it wasn't in our best interest and it wasn't pleasing you. Today, Father, we submit to the conviction of your Spirit, the convicting power of the Word of God, and release these things to you. We ask you, Father, that while we have perhaps allowed ourselves to be weakened and can't stand alone anymore, we can stand with one another. Because you said one would chase 1,000 and two 10,000. So right here and right now in this place, Father, with our brothers and sisters, we join our faith and our strength with theirs to get these areas dealt with so that we can stand against our enemy when he comes. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you for complete liberty, complete freedom, and complete deliverance, that we might serve you in all holiness and with singleness of purpose and singleness of heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let me ask you to stand, please. All right, now as you're standing, I want you to have an opportunity to come forward this morning. If you're a smoker and you need some help, we'll provide it today. If you want to be set free from that, God will set you free. If you're a social drinker, God will set you free if you want to be free. If you have fits of selfishness and irritability, and touchiness, bitterness, anger, any of those things from your old life that you want to be set free from, you can have your liberty today. I invite you to come. You can step out right now and come if that's your desire. The people that are in the congregation today, there aren't any of them that are going to stand there and say, well, I wonder what he's going down for. I wonder what she's got wrong with her, you see, because it's only but by the grace of God that we go. And so those of you that remain in the congregation, I don't want you to spectate or speculate. I want you to agree in prayer
with what's going to go forth up here. Some of God's kids are going to be set free. Some of them for the very first time. Now, if you're a smoker, you bring your cigarettes with you. Because we're going to do something with them. Do we have everybody that wants to come? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Father, you're going to have to move supernaturally here this morning. Are there any others? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a smoker, I want you to take the cigarettes out of your pocket or out of your purse and put them under your feet. Any smokers that we have? Any chewers? I want you to stand on it. Now get rid of it once and for all. Let's not play games. Any snuff dippers? Let me ask the elders, please, if they'll come and gather around over here. Just gather around behind. And I want you to, as we begin to pray, elders, I want you to move through the folks that are here. I want you to make sure that every person is touched with the laying on of hands. All right, now before we do that, we're going to pray together. I want you to pray this prayer behind me. If you'll close your eyes, please. As I pray this prayer, I want you to pray it behind me and make it the prayer that comes out of your heart. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name.
I come before you in Jesus' name.
I'm sorry for the vice that I've held on to.
I see now that it's weakened me.
And it's hindered my relationship with you.
I willingly
turn loose of it and reject it out of my life. In Jesus' name. And now, Satan,
I speak to you
with the authority of Jesus' name.
I reject you
and all of your works.
You'll not bind me.
You'll not hinder me.
You'll not separate me from God.
I take authority over you.
I cast you forth.
Out of my life.
Stay departed.
In Jesus' name.
Now you just begin to pray in the Spirit here. Each of you.
God's answering your prayers, you see.
Be thou set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free in Jesus' name. Be thou set at liberty in Jesus' name. Be set completely free in Jesus' name.
We have a couple more men down here. Paul, would you come, please? Jim Beverly, please.
Be set free in Jesus' name. Be set completely free in Jesus' name. Be thou set free in Jesus' holy name. Be set free in Jesus' holy name.
Be thou set at liberty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thou set completely free and delivered in Jesus' mighty name.
Be thou set at liberty in Jesus' name. Be set free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Lay hands on those back there, brothers. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set completely free in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. In the name, 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 in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In Jesus' wonderful name. Be thou set completely free in Jesus' name. Be thou set completely free in Jesus' name. Be thou set free in Jesus' name. Be thou set free in Jesus' name. Be thou set at liberty in Jesus' name. Be thou set free, my sister, in Jesus' wonderful, holy, glorious name. Be thou set free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be thou set completely free. Now, those of you that have been freed, you lift your hands and begin to praise God. Give God thanks for what He has done. Be thou set at liberty, sister, in the name of Jesus. Be thou set at liberty in the name of Jesus. Be thou set at liberty in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free, my brother, in Jesus' name. Be free, my sister, in Jesus' name. Be thou free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be thou free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be thou set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free, my brother, in the name of Jesus. Let me step through here, son. Just sit right here, if you will. Be thou set free, brother, in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free, my sister, in the name of Jesus. Be thou delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be thou set completely free, sister, in the name of Jesus. Be thou set at liberty in Jesus' name. Be thou set free in Jesus. Free, 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 free in Jesus' wonderful name. Be thou set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free in the name of Jesus. Be thou set free, sister, in the name, 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 in the name that's above every name, in that wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Be thou set at liberty, my brother, in the name of Jesus. In the name of in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Bring them with you. Yeah. So you got them? Is this what he? Put them under your feet, there, brother. Just trump them. That's it. That's it. That's the way you do it. That's the way. Yopuki, Mashimaha, ye hakide tenne, vetu moshai, ye kundi bahaka, she sheki, vetu maha, sheki onto manahake. You deceitful demon, in the name of Jesus, I command you to loose, my brother, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you call a house cleaning. Glory to God. That's a summer cleaning, I guess you'd say, wouldn't you, huh? Praise God. Praise God. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. Those of you that have been prayed for have been set at liberty. You have been delivered and set at liberty. And don't you receive anything to the contrary. Don't you smoke another cigarette. Don't you take another drink. Don't you let selfishness grab you one more time. Keep your dial off those dumb radio stations and listen to godly music. And things that will, and soap operas, yeah, garbage. Is that what you got delivered from? Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, those things will suck you right down into the pits. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, it's important, though, beloved, that you walk in what you've received. You must walk in it. You must walk in it. You must live it. God's Word says, as ye have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in Him. All right? You've received what you needed this morning. Now you must walk in it. His power is there to keep you from falling. And He is able to keep you from falling. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many of you know for sure? Now don't play with me. Know for sure that God set you free this morning from whatever you were asking Him for. Praise the Lord. You may